Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning again, Missy Zivny and Norma Mulliken with Refuge of Light. Welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Missy and Norma, co-founders of Refuge of Light. This is the fourth, fifth, sixth time that we've done an In Focus show on your agency, your ministry, if you will. And you're still doing pretty much the same thing, but there have been some pretty important changes as well. And let's go ahead and start off with the basics, the mission, the vision, history, background of Refuge of Light, who you are, and what you do.
Well, a little bit of history. Missy is my daughter, and my husband and myself founded Refuge of Light. We started working on it, felt a calling from God in 2008. We became a 501c3 in 2010, and our mission was to help girls who had been trafficked or were high risk for being trafficked to provide a safe home for them.
And we're talking specifically about sex trafficking, if I'm not mistaken, because there are other kinds of trafficking as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. And this began in the dream or the vision, I believe, first came to you in 2008. The official nonprofit designation came a couple of years later than that in 2010.
Yes.
And you've been going strong ever since and helping a lot of young women. And here lately, some male clients as well. So that's one of the important things that you've done lately. We're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show. And then we'll get into a little bit more detail about exactly what Refuge of Light does. But let's define human trafficking. I mentioned a minute ago that there are different types of trafficking. Let's talk about the definition of trafficking and the specific type of trafficking that you deal with.
So when you talk about human trafficking, essentially it's the buying and selling of an individual for sexual exploitation. And when I present in our traffic signals training class, we talk about the different types. There's labor trafficking, there's sex trafficking, and like you mentioned earlier, we specifically deal with sex trafficking when we're talking about human trafficking. And we don't ever assume that people know exactly what that means or what that looks like.
Uh-huh.
When you're talking about sex trafficking, there does not have to be an exchange of money per se. There can be an exchange of food, drugs, housing, something of value. Even a child depicted in a pornographic image is essentially human trafficking. And it is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world. And in the United States, there is somewhere in the range of 300,000 people that are at risk of being trafficked.
Okay. Let's clarify. You are based in Tyler?
We are.
Okay, based in Tyler. And I'll go ahead and give the website out right now so you can get more information, because we'll have a lot to share today, but there is a lot more to this, of course, than we'll be able to get to on the air. It's refugeoflight.org. And if you go to that website, you can see the contact tab for additional contact information, but the phone number is 903-279-8769. Who is at greatest risk of sex trafficking?
Well, there are certain populations, homeless, people, runaways, kids that are on the street, children in foster care seem to have a higher rate of being trafficked, children who have been sexually abused in the past. These are the kids that we focus on. The ones that are in foster care now are the ones that are coming out of foster care, the ones who are homeless.
Uh-huh. You just actually, let's see, you just celebrated hashtag Wear Blue Day on January 11th. And as luck would have it, for lack of a better way of putting it, and there may not be a better way, January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. So this show is very well timed in that respect. But let's talk about what you did on hashtag Wear Blue Day. That was January 11th, the actual Human Trafficking Awareness Day.
Well, we met, our staff all met, we all wore blue, and it was a day that we met to plan future events and really talk about aspects of the home. And then we posted a picture on Facebook, just making people aware that it was National Human Trafficking Day, and that when you see people wearing blue on that day, that's what it was that's what it was about. It was just an awareness day.
All righty. And First Lady Cecilia Abbott actually started all of this several years ago. And I see that Refuge of Light's very own board president, Jay Abernathy, who's the pastor at First Baptist Church in Woodville, was invited along with other faith leaders from different religious backgrounds. And I'm sure that was a very, very important aspect of what you did and what you do on a day in, day out basis.
Yes. Yes. And Jay represented us very well. Cecilia Abbott, what her idea was to bring faith leaders from all different backgrounds together and to have like prayer. Prayer is what we believe makes the biggest difference in what we do. And so to have different people from different religions meeting together and praying, that's one of the things that's going to make a difference for these kids.
Talking to Missy Zivney and Norma Mulliken of Refuge of Light, based in Tyler, and we'll run the mission of Refuge of Light by you here. I don't know if we put it in so many words earlier on in the show. We'll do it right now. The mission is to provide a safe haven, redemptive rescue, and restoration of sexually exploited female youth through advocacy, awareness, and holistic care. I guess at this point we should say primarily female youth, and we'll get to that aspect of it in just a few moments. Just how big is the problem? And to say that it is a big one would certainly be an understatement.
An understatement for sure. Currently, statistically, we've shown that there are 79,000 minors and youth in Texas that are at risk or being trafficked currently. And that is a study put out by UT Austin in 2017. So you can only imagine the grim reality is people don't gravitate to good, and those numbers have increased through the years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's 6 years ago. So yeah. Maybe it's time for another study, but regardless,
right.
We know
exactly.
At least we have a pretty good ballpark of what we're dealing with here. And why is this such a big problem?
Simply put, it's demand. We try to say, you know, it's money, the love of money, or obviously depravity of us as a simple, having a sinful nature. But the bottom line is demand.
Mm-hmm. And other contributing factors, unfortunately, some very familiar words under that umbrella.
Yeah, drugs, kids, high-risk youth, pornography. And to kind of camp out there for a minute, pornography is a portal into this criminal world.
Uh-huh.
And people don't realize the connection between the two. But earlier I mentioned that, you know, a child depicted in a pornographic image, that is human trafficking. I mean, they are exploiting that child.
Mm-hmm.
And in the U.S., we are the top producer of the porn web pages.
Uh-huh. And unfortunately, as a newscaster, I can say that there doesn't seem to be any end to stories that we run about human trafficking, about people getting busted for child pornography.
Right.
So those are some of the more obvious signs that are out there on a day-in, day-out basis.
Right.
Here today, and with what you're doing on a day-in, day-out basis, we dig deeper into that and learn more about the problem. You have several ways of serving this population, and let's start off with advocacy, and that means the Brave Girl Program, and more recently, the Brave Heart Program.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so the past year, according to our mission, the three areas of focus are advocacy, awareness, and holistic care. So advocacy, what we do there is we provide a non-residential mentoring program. For the past several years, it has been strictly for girls, minor girls in our communities that find themselves in the foster care system. Those kids are the ones who are at the greatest risk here in East Texas. And so we have formulated a partnership with several different organizations here in Tyler, and we mentor those young girls. And just this past year, there was a need for, they were asking, okay, we've got some young boys in our care, and said they're needing some assistance as well. And we know that girls are not the only ones targeted by this criminal activity, boys are as well. So we added a secondary program called Braveheart. And I love this story. One of the ladies that works with us, Robin Robertson, she started mentoring one of these young boys. And in the beginning, he was very angry and had outbursts. They started attending church, and she introduced this young boy to a friend of hers who owns his own lawn care business, and he started working for him. Well, they just fell in love with this young boy, and this past December, they adopted him.
Uh-huh.
Just in a matter of 9 months, that happened.
Golly, that is a great story. Let's talk about the boy. First of all, this age group is middle school or...
middle school to high school.
Middle school to high school.
So really 12 to 17, really.
Okay. And we hear human trafficking, sex trafficking can involve boys or girls.
Yes, unfortunately.
Can we talk a little bit about some of the things that the boys have as opposed to the girls or alongside the girls, the things that were happening that are happening with them that really brought this population to your attention?
Well, when we look at working with the boys, there's two things we look at. First of all, trying to help them to prevent them from becoming a victim. But the other thing that we focus in on is talking to them about what it means to be a man, and that abusing girls, using girls sexually, this is not what a young man should strive to, you know, work towards. So we have a twofold interest in that, helping them, because young boys do become victims of human trafficking,
yes,
but they also can grow up to be the pimps that traffic the girls. So really, we're working with them, Bible study, trying to get to the heart of the matter, because all of this, human trafficking, sex trafficking, it all has to do with the heart. And if your heart is not right, if you're not following Christ, anybody can fall into either category. So that's why we really started reaching out to the boys.
Mm-hmm. I kind of had a feeling that's where you were going with
yes.
that, but thanks for fleshing it out for us. Missy Zivny and Norma Mulligan of Tyler-based Refuge of Light, dealing with sex trafficking, our guests this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Quickly, some of the contact information, the website, lots and lots of information there, refugeoflight.org, and the phone number 903-279-8769, or simply go to the contact tab on that website if you want to know how to get in touch. As far as Brave Girl and Brave Heart, how are these youngsters generally referred to you?
Well, either through DFPS, Department of Family Protective Services,
okay.
but we have a partnership with several organizations in Tyler. We've worked with Heart's Way and previously Youth and Family Shelter. And so these are residential treatment centers where these kids have been placed because they've been removed from their home through foster care.
All right. Education and awareness, real important here. And you have a program called Traffic Signals. That's T-R-A-F-F-I-C-K, Signals. And that is training that's offered 4 to 6 times a year to volunteers, staff, and community. Tell us a little bit about how that works and how it's a great way for people listening to the show today to get involved with Refuge of Light.
So Traffic Signals is really our educational piece. So the areas that we target in our mission, and like you said, we offer that 4 to 6 times a year. Last year, that kind of declined. I was in a car accident, so I've been a little removed from things, but this is where we really just lay it all out. It's a very intense training. It's 4 hours. It's the what, why, how, who, everything encompassing human trafficking.
All righty, and... if you suspect, report. The National Human Trafficking Hotline, and I see that's 1-888-373-7888. You can report online, humantraffickinghotline.org, and you can report nationally. And I guess you're encouraged to report nationally because
yes.
they can contact local police and anti-trafficking
yes.
groups. And, you know, once these folks get into this situation, they could end up anywhere. They really could. At least that's my understanding of it.
They can.
Yeah.
And when we get referrals, oftentimes these are girls that we may have had contact with in Texas, but when their caseworker reaches back out to us or an advocate, they may have been taken out of state.
Yeah. Or even out of the country.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Missy Zivny, Norma Mulligan, Refuge of Light, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. And now we get down to one thing that's undergone a very significant change, and I think it's always kind of been, hasn't it been the heart of your program, and that is what's now known as holistic care through a supervised independent living program, and this refers back to your Refuge of Life safe home for female youth 18 to 21 years old, and I understand there's been a change in the age group and in the approach that you take under those auspices.
Yes, a big change. When we started out, we were a foster care home, a specialized foster care home for minors who had been trafficked, minor girls. then we transitioned into a residential care facility. Mm-hmm. Just we could see more girls, had more staff. And then what we started seeing, and we started hearing back, we try to stay in touch with any of the girls that go through our program.
Right.
We've had 30 girls go through our home, and we try staying in touch with them. And what we started seeing was when they left us, they had nowhere to go.
Mm.
So many of these kids are being trafficked by their own families. So when they age out and the foster care system lets them leave, they end up homeless. They end up on the street. They end up falling back into some of the same situations they were in before we had them.
Right. Sounds all too familiar.
Yes. So we saw a need for a home for girls 18 to 21. A lot of the girls that leave foster care don't even have a high school diploma. So there's really, they've got to be dependent on someone. They can't get a job. They can't go to college. They're stuck. So now when they come to us and we try to find out early on, what is your goal? What do you want to do? You know, do you need a high school diploma? Do you want to go to college? Are you looking for job training? So we, when they come to us, we set out trying to fill in those gaps that have been there so they can become independent. Help them get a high school diploma or GED. Help them to get started in college. Help them with job training. Learn how to do an interview. All kinds of skills, cooking. Some of them don't know how to cook. They don't know.
Most of them don't.
No.
Yeah.
They don't know how to get medical resources. There's a lot missing, and they're on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So we just felt like it was time for a home like that to open, and it's been good.
It's been good. This has been within, the last year you've made
yes.
this transition?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, very good. Very important to note for people who have heard y'all on the air before on this show, it's something that would not be a bad idea to bookmark, because if you have any preconceived notions or earlier learned notions about what right. Refuge of Light does, this is a big difference. You're basically
yes.
about the same things as always, but you're doing it in a different way. So you used to house minor girls 12 to 17. You don't do that anymore. They are served through your Brave Girl and for
right.
the boys, the Brave Heart program. But the on-site women who actually live on your campus, they're the ones who are part of this supervised independent living program for the reasons just stated.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, it's been going on. Has it been going on for about a year now, or maybe
yes.
not quite?
All
right.
Yes.
And you've seen good results from it.
We have.
Okay.
We have.
What about staying in touch with these folks after they get to be 22, 23, 24? Do you do much along those lines? And have you had good results from that?
Well,
I'm trying to think. Our earliest girl probably has just now turned 25.
Yes.
And we try to stay in touch. If they're willing, stay in
right.
touch with them. And a lot of them are. So it's interesting that you asked that. So Friday night, we received a message to the website, and it was one of our girls who had aged out,
uh-huh.
and she was wanting to get in touch with us. She said, contact me. So she sent her phone number, and I called her, and we spoke. Well, she's having a baby. She's engaged, and she wanted to invite all of us to her baby shower
wow.
this next month. So I was like, wow, okay, success. she wants to stay in touch.
I could not have asked for a better answer than that, and we
yeah.
certainly hope there are more to come. You provide them with these resources that you've just mentioned to help with things like high school diploma, GED, driver's license, job readiness, as well as housing, meals, transportation, and equine therapy. And most importantly, you tell us an introduction to Christ through your Brave Girl Mentoring Program,
right.
which we talked about a little bit earlier. Duration and level of care. How long does a young woman typically, or if that's the right word, typically stay in your SIL program?
It depends on them specifically. So we're very goal oriented with them. We try to let them set the pace. So for some of them, they may just want to get their GED. So they might be with us 3 to 6 months. Or if they're wanting to pursue a college education, it could be longer. So
uh-huh.
It varies girl by girl, situation by situation.
Uh-huh. Which is, in my experience and from what I've learned from other nonprofits, a very effective way.
Yeah.
Just, that one-on-one relationship. Mm-hmm. Community involvement and collaboration is key. And can you quickly run down some of the different types of people, churches, organizations that you work with in your day-in, day-out endeavors?
Well, we work with equine therapy. We have For the Silent.
Yes.
They do classes for the girls. Help me, Missy, some other community.
So our PAL program. So our girls, yes. A lot of them have come through the foster care system. So PAL stands for Preparation for Adult Living.
Uh-huh.
And if they were in foster care early on, at the age 16, they were required to go through this training, this class. And they have a lot of benefits that they offer these kids. So they guarantee that their college is paid for. They help provide different services when it comes to driver's education. So they're an important aspect, and they're affiliated with DFPS, Department of Family Protective Services. Another community resource is EDCATA, East Texas Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, because unfortunately a lot of these young ladies have drug addictions.
Oh, yeah, we went over that
alcohol.
Earlier.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. So churches, counselors, different groups. And we don't just have a cookie cutter, okay, this counselor is for every girl, because, you know, we have different personalities. So
exactly.
It may be that they, you know, don't really jive with one or they jive with another. Access is another group, a community organization. Then they provide very different services there. So counseling, drug counseling. So there's different things. And then we try to help them get benefits, you know, if they need to be on SNAP or Medicaid. We help them with whatever it is that they're trying to pursue to help them live independently.
And you have a lot of community partners, obviously.
We do.
Okay, Missy Zivny and Norma Mulliken from Refuge of Light and Tyler here with us today on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Let's talk about your accreditation. You're a member of the National Trafficking Sheltered Alliance, nationwide organization.
Yes, and so we're receiving an accreditation through them, and then they collaborate with other anti-trafficking organizations so that they can help assist survivors in finding housing. And that's really important, and I wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit more.
Okay.
So on our website, there's a logo on there for NTSA, National Trafficking Shelter Association. And so an individual, a caseworker, an advocate can go there if they're wanting to make a referral and fill out that application. And if you fill out that application with that link on our site, that doesn't necessarily mean that they will be referred to our home. So it is curated in a way that it will meet their specific needs. So you could even go to our site, even if you're wanting to refer for a minor, it will go into the NTSA and it will be sent out to homes that accommodate minors. But if it's specifically, you know, 18 to 21 age group, that range, and they meet the criteria for our home, that referral will be sent directly to us, Refuge of Light.
All right, very good. Now, the community can help in a number of different ways, and the first one is funding. You have a Freedom Fighter campaign, less than $1 a day, or people can just make a one-time donation. I take it your donation template is similar to other agencies, and I believe there is a donation tab on your website.
There is.
Yeah, in-kind or actual donations of goods, paper goods, $5, $10 gift cards, canned goods. You accept those as well?
Yes, all of those.
Take your pick if you want to make a simple financial donation or just donate paper goods or whatever, and then attend. And this brings us back to the traffic signals trainings. If we can just kind of maybe go over that very briefly about how that works and an opportunity here for you again to encourage people to attend those trainings.
So we offer those trainings to, if there's a church group or if there's a civic organization, if they express to us that there's an interest, they can go to the website, send us an email, info@refugeoflight.org. And oftentimes we even have high school or college groups. I recently spoke with a lady who is with the medical community this past Saturday, and she said, hey, I would really like for our ER doctors and our nurses to get together. I said, you get us a group of people, 10 plus, and we can make that happen. So I do not have actual classes scheduled at this time, but if an individual reaches out to me and says that they would like to schedule that training, we can get that on the books.
And how do you reach out to Missy or Norma? Why, go to the website, refugeoflight.org. You can see the contact tab for additional contact information. You can also call 903-279-8769. The next big event Refuge of Light has coming up that the community can get involved in, that would be called the Meet and Greet Bridge to Success at the Refuge of Light Home. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, this is something that we're going to do February 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m. And we're really focusing on this meet and greet, people that would be making referrals in the communities, different groups right. that are around, so they know what we do and the age group that we focus on, how to make a referral, and we'll be sending out invitations on this. Just really letting people know that this change has been made, because a lot of people don't know. They think we still are working as a home for minors and working with CPS and DFPS. Uh-huh. But that's all changed. Now we depend on referrals from individuals and different agencies.
Okay, very important point to make. The Brookshire's Fresh 15K, scheduled for March 4th at 7 a.m. at the Fresh Pavilion, that's become a very prominent fundraiser in Tyler for multiple agencies. You've benefited from that in the past, and I guess at this point you...
We have submitted an application, and whether we are accepted or not, it is a wonderful event, and it supports a lot of amazing charities, so we would encourage people to show up for that, and I am actually going to try to walk it. So we'll have a team refuge, so we encourage people to sign up for that.
Yeah, of course, referencing your auto accident, you appear to have recovered from that pretty nicely. You got in here okay this morning, so...
I hobbled in, but I'm here.
Hobbled in.
And I'm standing.
Best of luck, and I guess you just kind of have to take it from there.
That's right.
And good luck with all of that.
Just, thank you.
You know, really a blanket best of luck with everything that you're doing, because there is so much that Refuge of Light is about right now. As we talk to Refuge of Light's Missy Zivny and Norma Mulliken on In Focus this morning, I'm John Sims. Not too far down the road, Tuesday, April 25th, it's the 8th annual East Texas Giving Day under the auspices of the East Texas Communities Foundation, and that's an 18-hour day of giving, and you're going to be in on that too, I guess.
Yes, we are. We are.
Okay.
It is a wonderful fundraiser, and again, it targets so many great charities in the area. So,
One thing that I kind of skipped over a minute ago about volunteering. What are some of the things that a volunteer would do? How can you become a volunteer, and what should you take time to seriously consider before you go ahead and apply as a possible volunteer with Refuge of Light?
So there's different levels that people can or may want to volunteer at. So we've had individuals in the past that say, I would love to volunteer, but I just want to be in the background. They can do that. We take frozen meals and we freeze those, save those up for the young ladies in the home, or they can be more involved. First out of the chute, the first thing that they would need to do is send us an email. We would put them in touch with our volunteer coordinator, Robin Robertson. She will reach out to them. She's amazing. She can connect people and really get them involved. And so there's ways that they get involved through our Brave Girl and Brave Heart program. They can actually lead Bible studies, be a mentor in our program. They would have to fill an application and first and foremost go through our traffic signals training.
Okay, so that's first and foremost.
Yes.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think we've been talking about traffic signals in maybe a little bit more generic way, but it's a requirement if you want to be a volunteer. So I'm glad we had a chance to touch on that a couple of times during the show. The website is refugeoflight.org. You can go there and check the contact tab for additional contact information, or simply grab your phone and call 903-279-8769 if you want any additional information about Refuge of Light. The website, I've found, has been very informative.
Good.
A lot of information on there. I can certainly recommend that personally. I always research websites before I do this show, regardless of the agency. And you have a Facebook page.
We do.
And I don't know if that bears any explanation or not.
It does not.
People pretty much understand how Facebook works and the types of information that they can get from social media. So, in any event, we're going to kind of wrap the show up right now, but we've been talking to Missy Zivny and Norma Mulliken with Tyler's Refuge of Light, dealing with sex trafficking in a number of ways. Again, that website is refugeoflight.org, and you can get involved in a number of ways. You can volunteer, you can donate, you can get involved with Fresh 15 race, whether you're chosen for it or not, and I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
And then there's East Texas Giving Day coming up in April. But more to come down the road, I'm sure. The problem, sadly, isn't going away anytime soon. And I just from what I hear on this show, you're going to continue to change with the times and evolve to meet the community need in the best way
we are.
Can.
I think that's very important you see a need and you meet it.
Okay. That's about it for this morning, though. Missy Zivny and Norma Mulliken of Refuge of Light, thanks so much for coming in and sharing with us and getting us up to date on what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Missy and Norma with Refuge of Light, our guests this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.